Let's open our Bibles to Luke's Gospel and chapter 22. Luke's Gospel, the chapter 22 and verse 55. Luke 22, the verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while another saw him, and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Last Sunday we began to trace the footsteps and events that followed after the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas had came to the garden, he had kissed the Lord, and Christ had been arrested and taken into the palace of Caiaphas there in Jerusalem. All of the disciples had fled. But then, as they were fleeing, two of them had turned and had once again followed after the Lord, Peter and John. John was closer to the group, made it into Caiaphas' house. Peter, as the verse 54 reminds us, Peter followed afar off. We began to focus our attention on Peter last Sabbath morning, and the fact that he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We observed together the clues that were there in Scripture that Peter would fall, that Peter would feel the Lord. The fact that he was boasting of himself and boasting of his faith in himself in the verse 33. The fact that he was sleeping instead of praying in the verse 45. His irrational behavior, the verse 50, whenever he lashed out and he cut the ear of Malchus. The fact that Peter was following Christ afar off, the verse 54. And then 55, he's sitting down in the world. He's enjoying the comforts that the world could offer to him. He's sitting down with the very man that arrested his Lord and arrested his Savior. Oh yes, the clues were all there. We asked each one last week to examine ourselves in the light of Scripture, to put that mirror up before us and to examine ourselves in our walk with God, and to see if any of those clues are found in us. You know, the house or the palace of Caiaphas is an interesting place. It wasn't what you might imagine a palace to be. Maybe it's not even what you'd imagine a house to be. But I want you to picture it in your mind this morning. It is a relatively square structure. A great wall, square wall right round it, but in that wall it is the house itself. And there's one access gate, there's one strong, wide gate for the public to get in and to get out of. And that gate would be opened from internally only. And that gate would be opened, and whenever it's opened, then the court or the alleyway, as it were, it's a tunnel that's going through, and it's an arch tunnel, and above it there is rooms and there's balconies. That tunnel then is wide enough, everyone would move through that tunnel and would come into an open courtyard. And around the edge, the perimeter of the courtyard, then you have all of the various rooms, and then there's upstairs and downstairs rooms, and there's a covered way so that people could walk around the perimeter of the house. But there in the middle, in the midst of the courtyard, it's open to the sky, it's open to the air. The soldiers that night had brought Christ in through the gate. There's always a porter on the gate of Caiaphas' palace. That door had been opened, that great gate, as it were, had been opened. They had marched the Lord Jesus in. They had presented him to Annas and his room. And then they had remained outside in the courtyard and had lit a fire. It was into this company that Peter would sit down and would deny the Lord. Last week we saw the clues for the denials I want to bring to you this morning. The certainty of the denials. The certainty of the denials. Peter's denial of the Lord is beyond any doubt. Remember the Lord's prophecy to Peter, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. John had come out of the trial. Remember I said that John was closer to the grip and he had made it in before the gate was shut. And he went into the actual room where Christ was in trial before Annas. He went into that very room, but then after a time he came out. He went up to that maid, the porter at the gate. And he asked her to open the gate. He brought in Peter. Remember, John was known of Caiaphas. And for him to get this maid to open the gate, she would have known who he was. You couldn't just walk up to the maid of a palace or of that place and just tell her what to do. Had to be someone that was known to that household, to that palace, to the staff in that place. And John was one who was known, and therefore he could go up and he could ask her, please open the gate, there's someone outside. The gate was opened. She opened it, she watched John as he poked his head, as it were, outside the door, and he waved over. There was Peter, and Peter comes in. She observes as she shuts that gate, there's Peter and John standing within that alleyway, that tunnel that was taken through to the courtyard. She observed as the two of them spoke. And then John went back into the trial. Peter's left on his own. John 18, the verse 17, it records that she is the first one to ask Peter. John 18, verse 17, it says, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. See, it's crystal clear to her. As she opened that gate, as Peter came in, as she watched Peter and John talking for that brief moment, maybe giving an update of what was going on in the room, she observed, these two men are close. These two men are in the same company. These two men are the followers of Jesus Christ. But then she can't believe her eyes. Because a follower of Jesus Christ has went over to the grip of soldiers. A follower of Jesus Christ has went over to these soldiers and has sat down with them and is sitting there warming his hands in the fire and is very at peace and comfortable in the company of those men. You know, as we read this morning, the four gospel accounts, they all give a different scenario or give a different wording to what the maid says. But it isn't the case that there is any contradiction. But rather, she said them all. She keeps pressing Peter. And she keeps pressing him, and she keeps pressing him in the four different accounts in the Gospels. She says them all, and she's sitting there, and she's watching him, and she cannot understand. Why is this man, why is a follower of Jesus Christ sitting with these servants and sitting with these soldiers who had just arrested? She comes to him. She's pushing him. She's pressing him. She sent him, you're a disciple of Christ. You're one of his followers. You're one of the disciples of Christ. What are you doing associating with these men? John wasn't there. He hadn't sat down in the world. He wasn't enjoying the world's comforts. You know, even through the words of the maid, there's warning going to Peter. Peter, you shouldn't be here. Peter, you shouldn't be in this company. Peter, what are you doing sitting down with these men? Peter, get up. Get out. It's Stay away. Sadly, Peter denied. Pardon the pun, but Peter's denial showed he was in denial. Even the maid was able to see that this man's fallen. This man's in the wrong place. Psalm 1 and the verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But here was Peter, sitting where he ought not to. But yet he couldn't see or admit his perilous situation. He lies, he denies. See, my friend, this morning, when I apply this to both saved and unsaved alike, where you sitting this morning, and I don't mean physically in this church, I mean spiritually. Sinner, do you realize this morning the danger that you're in today? Do you realize today that the great peril that you find yourself in as you sit in the world? Maybe like Peter, you're in denial. You think you're okay. You think spiritually you're not in any trouble. You may have the mindset that you're just not as bad as others. And therefore, you don't need to worry. You may think to yourself, "Preacher, quit making a fuss over my life, my salvation. I'll be okay. I'm not like these great sinners in the world. I'm not one who drinks. I'm not one who gets involved in all of the revelry and all of the wickedness of the world. I have a clean mouth. I don't curse. I don't swear. I don't do anything wrong. I'm a very good law-abiding citizen in this country. I don't need the salvation of Christ upon the cross. Surely that's for the greater sinners." All that agony that you've been preaching about in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all of the agony of the cross of Christ, and all of the agony that He endured even through the trials, the scourging and everything else, that's for the greater sinners. It's not for me. You know, sadly, that's the argument of so many today in this world. Even in this land and even in this area. I've met, as I've come down here, many decent, good people. Very friendly people. Go out of their way to help you. Great reputation of all that I've spoken to in the area. Men and women in this area that anyone you talk to, they have nothing but good to say about them. In our eyes, they're decent. In our eyes, they're good. They're kind. Trustworthy. But in the Lord's eyes, their righteousness are as filthy rags. See, the heinous sins of the world, the lesser sins, as we call them, of the world, they're all included in the Scriptures whenever it says the wages of sin is death. It is not the case that it says the wages of certain sins is death. It says rather the wages of sin. Therefore, what we determine is the big sins and the little sins, all of those sins, regardless of what they are worthy of death in the eyes of God. Therefore, if that's your mentality this morning, I plead with you, come out of your denial. Out of your distancing yourself from Christ, rather run to Him. What about you, child of God, that's finding yourself more and more in the world place today? You're enjoying the joys of the world. You're enjoying friendships in the world. You're enjoying the activities of the world, and you're quite happy to sit in it. And ones are coming, and even as the maid's coming to Peter, and she's looking at him, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a child of Christ. You're a disciple of His. What are you doing sitting in the world? Christian today, if you're finding yourself in the world, what are you doing there? It's not for the Christian. Can't serve two masters. Can't love the world and love the Lord. It's one or the other. You know, after Peter's first denial, the Lord sent him a warning. Mark 14 to verse 68. The cock crew. You know, Mark's the only gospel to record this fact. We've read all four accounts this morning. It is only found in Mark, the crowing of the cock twice. The rest of them all remark that about the second crowing whenever it comes to the end of the three denials. But Mark is the only gospel that will refer that after the first denial, the cock crows. One denial is followed by an immediate warning, reminding, seeking to remind Peter the word of the Lord, Mark 14:30, verily I say unto you this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. One denial, one warning straight away. Peter, you're not where you should be. Get out. It ought to have warned Peter of the state that he found himself in, but yet he lingered on. My friend, heed the warnings of Scripture. Don't linger in your sin. Backslider today, don't linger on in the world thinking, I'll come back in a while. I'm just enjoying the pleasures of the world for a time, but in the future I'm going to come. Rather, heed the warnings of Scripture. Hebrews 3 and 15. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Peter would linger on and deny the Lord on two more occasions. After the first denial, he moved away from the fire to the porch area. He went away from that place where his face would have been illuminated with the light of the fire. He went, as it were, receding into the shadows, back into the darkness of the porch area. He went away from that first group. He sought to align himself with a different area. Such was his size. He thought, I'll go over to this corner. The fire's that way. I'll go this way and I'll be okay. I'll stand over here. Once again, he's confronted with the accusation of being a follower of Christ. Matthew 26:71, it tells us another maid saw him. You know, many of the commentators believe that the first maid who was keeping the door, she told those around her. She told the other members of staff, as it were. Maybe she was coming to the end of her shift and the next one was taking over, or whatever the case may be. And the first maid went and told others, and even those that were standing around, so that the second maid was watching. And the second maid was listening. And even though Peter, he had moved away from his first location, he had changed certain things in his life, but yet he couldn't run away. Couldn't escape the finger being pointed at him. He moved away from the light of the fire. He moved to the shadows, but he couldn't escape. You know, there are those in this world, and I've heard testimonies in the past, sinners try to change certain parts of their own lives. Maybe change the company that they're keeping. Maybe change some of the practices they're involved in. They're trying to fix their own lives. They're trying to right themselves. They're trying to make it better, to make it less of, in their face, as it were, the gospel coming at them. So they'll say, oh, I've changed this, and I've done this, I've made changes in my life. You can't run away from God. Psalm 139, the verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence. In other words, you will never get away from God. You can run as far as you want to run, sinner, this morning, but you'll never flee from God. And many a person even has stopped attending church. They hate hearing the gospel. They hate being told Sunday by Sunday that they're sinners. And yet the Spirit can still bring the Word of God to them wherever they be. You think of Genesis 3. Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden. What did they do? They went and hid themselves. They ran away from where they usually were, and they went and they hid themselves. They tied the fig leaves together, and they went and they hid themselves from the presence of God. But yet the voice of the Lord came to them, Adam, where art thou? He can't get away. Denials were increasing in severity. Matthew 26, the verse 72, he denied with an oath. No longer was Peter just simply saying, I don't know him. Now he's starting to use profanities. He's starting to use the oaths and the swearing. Also in Matthew 26, the verse 72, he says, I don't know the man. Peter knew exactly who Jesus was. Peter knew that Jesus was so much more than just a man. Because out of all of the disciples, which one confessed that Jesus was Savior? Matthew 16, it was Peter. And upon Peter's confession of Jesus Christ, what did Christ say? Upon this rock will I build my church. Peter knew that the Lord was so much more than just a man, but yet here's Peter standing because of the state of his heart and because of the state of his life. He's now just going, I don't know the man. He's lying and he's robbing God of his glory by bringing him down to mere mortal. You know, Peter, I believe he never set out to deny the Lord. He didn't go to the Garden of Gethsemane knowing, I'm going to deny them. I want to deny them. No. But yet when Peter came into that gathering and came into that setting, before the end of the night, he'd be cursing, he'd be swearing. He'd be going against the Lord in every way he could. Just to sort himself. You know, no sinner ever sets out to destroy their lives. No drunkard ever believes that the first time that he takes a drink, he's going to end up with a life in the gutter. No drug addict, the first time that they take a drug, whether it be cannabis or whether it be an e-tablet or whatever the drug is that they'll take, they don't believe that they're going to end up jobless, wifeless, family gone and homeless. Lives completely wrecked. See, there's a lesson for each one of us. We dabble in sin. Sin's going to take us further than we'll ever want to go. You start and go to the world, and you start and taste of the world, and you start and live in the world and grow comfortable with the world. The sins of the world is just going to draw you and draw you until it's got you. Sinner, the devil doesn't care for you. He wants to take you. He wants to wreck you. He wants to leave you in hell. You know, the third and the final denial of Peter, he had moved back to the fire. A very specific person is mentioned in John's Gospel, John 18, verse 26. It's a relative of Malchus. tells us in that verse and in that passage, it's a kinsman of Malchus. Malchus being the man that Peter had cut off his ear. And there in John 18, verse 26, the man says, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Now this man in particular, out of all of the soldiers, would remember. You're not going to forget too quickly if someone wrongs your family. You're not going to forget a face or the action. Peter couldn't get away from his sin. Peter couldn't get away from the guilt offered. Now he finds himself in even more dangerous company. He finds himself surrounded by those, and here's one, a kinsman, a relative of Malchus, and he's pointing the finger straight at Peter, and he's saying, "You were in the garden. I saw you. I know what you did." Peter starts cursing. Starts swearing. Using all of the foul language of the day, trying to prove, "I'm not a follower of Christ." You know, it's interesting, even then and even still today, the world will look at the Christian and the world expects certain things off a Christian. Oh yes, the Lord expects so much more of His children, but even the world, there are certain standards which the world expects Christians to be, and certain standards that the world expects Christians to follow. One of them is the language. And here was Peter trying to prove, "I'm not a follower of Christ because I can curse and swear like the next man. And I can use all of the foul language like the next man. Therefore, I couldn't be a follower of Christ." In reality, Peter's a mess. Christ had warned him, "Peter, the devil seeks to sift you as wheat. He wants to wreck you, Peter. He wants to take you and he wants to completely throw you upside down and just mess and wreck your life completely. Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." You know, next Sunday we're going to come to the conclusion of Peter in this passage. We're going to see the compassion of Christ. We're going to see the contrition of Peter. But you know, I want you to see that wonderful truth today. Even through everything that we've looked at Peter and the mess that his life was, but yet even as we look to next Sunday, we can look to the Lord today, there's compassion with Christ. We're going to see the look of love. We're going to see as the Lord's making His way from one room in the court or in the palace across the courtyard, as He's being dragged, arms behind His back or by His side, whatever way they were taking Him, yet He glances and He makes sure He sees Peter. Because Peter wasn't getting out of that place himself. The rot that Peter was in, the denials, and he's just going further and further down. "I don't know him." Then it's, "I don't know the man." He's oathing. Then he's swearing. He's cursing. It's just a downward spiral. It's not coming back himself. But yet the Lord in His mercy looks upon Peter. And He breaks Peter. Child of God, once again I look to you to be honest before God this morning. You find yourself in a downward spiral. Understand this, you'll never get out of it yourself. It's only Christ who'll get you out. Run to Him this morning. There's the compassion, the forgiveness, the mercy that's only found in Christ. Sinner, this morning you think you're sorting your own life. You think, "Oh, I can make the changes. I'm a decent person. I can make the wee changes and I'll be okay." Let me tell you this, you'll never be okay if you don't have Christ. If you don't have the Lord as your Savior, as the Lord as your King and ruler in your life, you'll never have anything. The devil will gladly take you to hell. have you wrought in that eternal damnation forever. But yet the Lord standing ready and able to save you. If you simply come. Come away from the comforts of the world. They're only for a season. Look to Christ. He'll save you. Him that cometh unto me, and in no wise cast out. But you have to come.